The following presentation was recorded at a Christian Light Education workshop. More information at clp.org.
The topic that we'd like to look at this morning is on the revised Sunrise learning to read and reading to learn and language arts of the first grade. I have a question. How many of you are using the new Sunrise materials, the new stuff? How many are still using the older material? Okay. So those of you that are using the new material, some of the things that we'll be talking about you are maybe already a bit familiar with. And we'd like to just show some of the things and go through some of how to make it work, what's happening with it. And those of you that are not using it, at least you can maybe lick your fingers a little bit and hope that you can use it next year. Along with that, I have some questions, and we would appreciate having input from you that are using it as to how it's going. Okay, what features of the revised program are valuable, important to you? How are things working out with the timed word lists? And how can you make the time less stressful and yet meaningful? What parts of the lessons do you allow your student or students to do independently? How do you manage learning to read in a multi-grade kind of a setting, either in your school or home? And what trouble spots have you already encountered, or how are you dealing with them? And so maybe some of you already have one of these questions or have an answer to one of these questions. I'd like for you just to feel free to speak up and give us some ideas as to how it's working. It seems that the time lists are a bit of a, in fact, you know, some say, well, is it that important? Yes, it is. Now, I'll tell you why the time lists are important. Because it teaches students to read quickly, to recognize words and to read them quickly, you know, and that they don't sit there and just sound out every blend or every letter, you know, because if that's how they're going to learn to read, that's how they will just keep on reading. You want to be able to eventually recognize a word and just, you know, say them quick. But the problem is if we put too much stress on the time. I still remember quite a few years ago when I was teaching, and it seemed with the time list, the, you know, each word, you know, and it got louder, and it got, you know, and by the time they had this, their timing down, I mean, they were just all just wound up. You know, that's just how it was. And you don't want that. I mean, that's not what we're looking for. There are some ways of making it that it has been working better for some. In one place, a lady told me that, or teacher, that she did not use a timer. See, because with a timer, then you count down. You know, and then you, after 1 minute, this buzzer is going to go. You know, and that somehow, it's a bit like when you're waiting for the alarm clock to go off, and you just wish it wouldn't. And so she actually used a stopwatch. If it went over a minute, she let them go over a minute, says, well, you know, we're going to practice these some more. And you didn't have this jarring sound, you know, to somehow interrupt you. And it right away, it took off some of the tension, some of the stress to do it that way. That'd be one way of, you know, of using it, being successful with it. Another way is that you don't make too much of an issue of it, you know. So when they're really not noticing it as much and stuff like that, and not just, okay, now you come here and I'm going to time you, you know, and you make a big deal of this thing, well, that's going to really tense them up, kind of a thing. So, but I would encourage you try to keep them at least close to a minute. That's what they have been designed for. And in fact, one teacher said she tried to do that very soon in the lesson. Then at least we got it done for the day. We don't have to You know, the students don't have, oh, I've got this timing to take care of yet. It's almost like a test. And, you know, that they're worried about it. And so try to get it done soon in the lesson, and so that we're just on the way and off we go to something else. Okay, I'd like to go through some of the things that have happened. And I know some people ask me, well, you just came out with Sunrise Edition, and now you're changing it already. Well, are you just trying to make new curriculum so that we have to buy new stuff and pay more money, you know? No, that's not our point. The Sunrise Learning to Read and First Grade material was one of the earliest things that we made into Sunrise. And so it was some like a, you know, it was some of our first stuff that we did. And as we started doing more Sunrise and other subjects, you know, we picked up some things. Hey, you know, we should do it this way. Well, that started, and some of those good ideas that are in the later Sunrise materials, we didn't have in the earlier, and we felt we needed to incorporate those things. And when it came up for a reprint, we already knew that there were some things that needed to be touched up on, and so that's why we worked through it. We actually had a group of first grade teachers go through the material and recommend the changes. So teachers who actually have been using the material to come up with what would be some things that we needed to be aware of in as this thing came up for revision. And so on the second page there, our general goals is to synchronize, to harmonize, to bring together learning to read with Language Arts 100 and the I Wonder, or the Reading to Learn Grade 1. These components should complement each other and build language arts and reading together as a unit. So the earlier material, it seemed to be almost three different things, and they didn't always link together the best. And we've tried to make it so that it blends a little better. Now, see, learning to read has always, since 1980, when Christian Light began its own materials, learning to read has always been a CLE product. We never got it from another company and just revised it for ourselves. Learning to read has always been our own. In fact, it's always been one of our success products, I would say. It seemed to be that which people really liked. And we're glad for that. It seems with the learning to read now, we hope that it has improved that. Second, we wanted to improve the art, appearance, and the student friendliness of the course, and I hope that we have done that. Oh, I'm getting some nods. Okay. It's a little more, not quite so just stark black and white, and, you know, there's a little bit more white space on the page, there's a little more color, it's a little bit more on a student level, you know, those kind of things. We wanted that to be a little bit more appealing that way. Three, we wanted to start the learning to read concepts a little slower, especially at the beginning of the year, so that they weren't learning, that students weren't learning so many new sounds and concepts one right after another. Bang, bang, bang. Now, I know you may say, well, my students can do it. You know, they can handle it. They may be able to do it, but teachers, don't do more than one lesson a day. He says, well, my students can. Don't do more than one lesson a day. Your students, you know, it takes a while for that to sink in and to soak in, you know. Give them review, give them other meaningful things, and let those new sounds sink in. They need that. If you're going to push this, they may be able to do it, but they're, after a while, it's going to catch up on you. It just will. So don't stay to one lesson a day. It's been purposely done that way. Very few students will benefit from doing more than a lesson a day, generally. Very few students, because they need that opportunity to have it just, you know, slowly sink in just like a gentle rain. They need that. They need that. And we wanted to make the daily workload more manageable. For some students, some of the lessons were just, you know, there was just a good bit of material, especially if it was a student that needed a little bit more help. And so we wanted to make the workload just a little easier. Okay, the learning to read part itself. We have changed several of the letters and phonics parts. They're not all in the same order. Okay? So, we still teach all the same phonics sounds, but they're not all taught in the same order they were before. So, the new light units are going to require a new teacher guide. Your old teacher guide will not work with the new light units. You are going to need to buy the new flashcards. A lot of the words are still the same, but because of the order in which they are being taught, okay, it's going to mix you up if you use the old flashcards with the new light units. Now, the picture cards, the wall picture cards and the picture cards, they have not changed. Okay, those you do not need to buy the new ones. So that you need to remember that. So several of the letters, this was done primarily because teachers were feeling that, okay, this sound should be taught before this sound. That's why some of the order was changed around. Number two, we have made the word list shorter. I'll show you a word list here. Your children probably are about 104 now, aren't they? 103, 104? You're done 103. Okay. So that's about where the students would be. Okay, this is 104, lesson 3. Okay. Here's a timing list. See, you see the clock? Okay. These 1, 2, 3, 4, 12, 15 words. You know, you don't have a whole big long list that makes it difficult for a student to be able to do in a minute anyway. And so that looks so overwhelming. You know, this, you know, I can't ever do this. They should be able to do this comfortably. And and of course, these signs, these indicators show to the student which the timing lists are, and of course the teacher's guide explains it. See, it says words with a star. Star words are sight words, and you see they're always underlined. And for the next couple of light units, these words will be underlined. That underlining means that it's a sight word. I have learned this sight word, but it's a sight word. That's why the underlining is there. In fact, even in the primer, we're going to look at the primers. See, you see words that are underlined. Underlined words are sight words. We've done that intentionally. Okay, number three. The amount of penmanship practice has been reduced. See, what happened in the older material is you had penmanship and learning to read, and then you already started language arts before learning to read was finished. And about learning to read 107 or 8, that's when you started language arts. And then you'd have penmanship in learning to read and language arts, you know, at the same time. Well, that's really repetitious. Some students may benefit from that practice, but we decided to take out the penmanship from the language arts until the learning to read part is done. So you only have it in one. Once the learning to read is finished, then you just do the language arts, then you'll have penmanship in language arts. But you don't have it in both places at the same time, because it was just really a repeated exercise. That's what it became. Number four, lessons have been reduced where originally there were more than two pages of the same exercise. For example, I would assume here they have to write the first sound. And sometimes you'd have two and even three pages of the same activity. We have made it so that generally there's only one, no more than one page of an activity like that, okay? So they don't just, well, first graders, are you going to learn more by doing three pages than by doing one? Hardly. Some students may need the practice, but you know, to just do the same thing over and over and over again, that doesn't just by itself, it doesn't make it more meaningful. And so we've made that there's only at the maximum one page of an activity in a lesson, and What we have actually done, I'll show it later, we have made practice sheets that you can photocopy. If your students need more practice later in the day or something like that, you can photocopy those sheets and then, you know, give them as extra worksheets to them. We have added, number five, some lessons to the course. Originally the course was 90 lessons, now I think it's 107, if I'm right. And we haven't added more material. Okay? So we have taken what we had in 90 lessons at one time and expanded that and just broadened it out to 107 lessons. There's not more new material. It's just so that it's a little more spaced, a little, you know, not quite so crammed together. It's stretched it out a little more. It is especially in the earlier light units, so that students aren't getting so much, that they're being hit with so much new stuff all the time. However, among those 107 lessons, we have added some review lessons. They are some more review lessons and some review lessons. Let me see. I can probably find one in here. Okay, yeah, right here, this lesson ahead. See, it's marked review. Just we have thrown in some more review lessons along the way. So it's 107, about 107 lessons, I think is correct. You don't learn any more new things. It's been spread out a little more, but there are more review lessons. The better reader you can get of a grade one student, the better that he or she learns to read, the better student you're going to get. Now, I'm not saying that just because a student is a good reader, he's going to be an A1 student. That isn't always the case. But very often, if students do not have a good first grade learning experience, that it was either rushed through or that, you know, that somehow they didn't grasp it, that they didn't get it, they struggle all the way up. In fact, yesterday at a workshop, somebody asked me, I have a third grader that's just struggling in reading. What should I do? And I says, it's better that you pull him back and give him that reading now before he's in fifth and sixth and seventh and still struggling with reading. Because that makes it even more difficult what you're going to do at that time. So the more thorough you learning to read you can give the student, the better the keys are going to be for him to be able to be a good student. Now that doesn't mean that you just do the same repetitious things over and over again. You need to make review and drill and those things meaningful. But try as much as possible that your students are thorough, that they get it, okay? I would far rather have a student repeat learning to read in grade two again, second year, if they didn't catch it the first. In fact, the one school I taught, we had some students like that. They made it through learning to read. They didn't do bad, but they were still struggling. And so what we did with them, they could continue taking grade two material. Bible, language arts, math, and so on. But when the learning to read lesson was being done, they would be with the first grade learning to read class, just for the learning to read part. Okay? And they worked through it again. It was probably the best thing that we could give those children, that they got a second exposure to it. Those children needed it. In fact, I should maybe throw in this tip. We are coming out with a kindergarten program, not because we push kindergarten, but a lot of homeschool families like kindergarten because they have preschool children. Also, some schools are teaching kindergarten, especially when the children come to school and English is not their first language. Okay? And so we are developing a two-pronged kindergarten program, a 30-day program or a 90-day, both. 30 days or 90 days. The 90 days is going to be a while yet till that's ready. The 30-day program is in a rough form. It's ready now. And it does not teach learning to read, but it teaches the letters, the ABCs, and it teaches pretty well just how they sound, the same way as is in learning to read. So if you have a child in kindergarten, you can already give them that kindergarten. It's not learning to read, but it teaches them, it gives them an introduction, okay? And then they can take the learning to read. It'll help them. If you have children like that and you're interested in that, just see me. I can try to make sure that you get onto that. It's not, the books are not printed yet, but the material in a rough form is ready. It is ready now. The 30-day stuff, not the 90-day. The 90-day stuff is not ready yet. What the 90-day will be, the 90-day is going to have the 30-day in it, but there's going to be a lot of other more material with it as well. Okay, so that has been what we have tried generally to do with the learning to read material. Let's go to the next page. The light units have been revised. Some of the earlier light units, they didn't have the lessons marked. And so this has each lesson marked. That you know, that when your child brings home a book from school, okay, this is how the lesson is. You know, this is where it started, this is where it stopped. Okay? And it's indicated that way. We try to improve the art and the color, more white space, and so on. Okay. Also, what we have done in some of the earlier courses, for example, a page like this, the work was done so that you have to do it this way. Well, this is not the way we want students to learn how to work in books. Okay, because this is not the normal way of working in books. And so we have done that. It's all turned the right direction. You don't have to, you know, do this kind of stuff. I already talked about the star words, which are the sight words. Those of you that are not, that don't have the new material, you probably are wondering what this is. I'll show you. Most of the lessons have what we call dot maps. Okay? That means you have a set of dots, then a certain pattern. And the student is supposed to make the same pattern here as what they see above it. See, what the student is having difficulty with is hand-eye coordination. Okay, that's why these have been put in there. Probably one of the best ways is maybe what he needs more practice is with some simpler ones. You may have to even, you know, make some of your own, like on a piece of paper and photocopy them, whatever you want to do. Another thing is try to teach your students, don't hurry. Don't rush through them. Look at each line. Are mine at the same spots. But one of the things is, if a student is having difficulty, same with the timing words. Don't let it become a stress situation. Because then it's easy to get it mixed up. Okay? So just that the student takes his time, looks at each line, you know, either crossways or up and down, whatever it is, that they try to be thorough. You see, it's a hand-eye coordination problem. And that's why we put them in there, because students at that age need a lot more of that development. They do. A lot of children just, no problem. You know, and others, it's a struggle. And see, one of the things is it's teaching them observation skills and being able to follow those observation skills in their own directions, okay? And so, you may have to start with some simpler ones, you know, just on other paper, kind of a thing, and practice with just some very simple lines, and then just keep on increasing it. In fact, maybe what we should do is design some practice, a whole book of practices with just, you know, various ones. And that's why they have been included. Because if children are able to do this well, it helps them to notice new words. It helps them to notice new things in books, to be more observant, to be more accurate, you know. And it's those kind of skills that are important at that stage. So that's why they are there. Okay, number six. Most lessons contain a short oral reading story. I mean, we had them earlier already. And like here's a story. See, you see the underlined words? Those are the sight words. And it's a story, and then in the teacher's guide, there are questions that you can ask, you know, for oral comprehension, things like that. The visual discrimination, for example, here you have blocks that have four words. One is different. Sometimes you have blocks where there are four words or pictures, two are the same. And sometimes they have to match one with a given example. Okay, number eight, we've tried to make the timing lists a little shorter, 1 minute timings. Also, we have put the timing, they are in the lesson, but we have also put them on the in the back, like lists. These you can cut out as bookmarks. The students can take them home or out of class, you know, to practice them, to work with them. That's why they have been put there, that they can cut out the lesson and for additional review. In the lessons as well, we have where they are blending. For example, here you see this pink box. This is where they are, where we're teaching them new blends. Okay, that is put in a pink box just so that the student can better recognize this is what we're doing. Each light unit only has one self-check. You say, well, why do you do that? Well, we feel that as the teacher works with the first grade students, you know, you should be able to pick up how well the student is doing the work. There is a self-check at the end, which is really like a final review before they take the test. So you don't have the self-checks in between, but there is one at the end of the light unit, a review, self-check, prepare them for the test. In the first four light units, final test does have blending sounds in it that you read. What is it? You read to the student, you say them to the student, and they're supposed to say them back to you, right? And now you don't give them a score on that. It's not part of your final grade, but it's a way of you testing the student how well are they hearing blends and responding to blending sounds. See, if a student can blend, that's the key to be able to read new words. Okay, let's go to the teacher guide revisions. We've tried to make it that the information is not as cluttered. There's more space, even for notes, if you want to make notes there. Try to make the little more organized, you know. Okay, new sound, your objectives, your class preparation, you know, optional things that you need. And it's just designed a little clearer where to find information and what to do. Now, you teachers are aware of this chart, are you? Okay? This teaches you, now I'm not saying you have to follow it, we missed a lesson today. But try to keep your lessons coordinated between math, learning to read, language arts, you know, all these kind of things. And if you follow this, you should be able to get done in a year. Now, some teachers ask me, but what if my students struggle enough that learning to read takes longer? If it takes you all year to do learning to read, but if they get it, that is better than pushing the course through in first grade, okay? If they have to do some of the I Wonder material in their second year of school, that's fine. Far rather take the time that it needs to do the learning to read well. That is much more important than I have to try to keep up with this schedule. But this schedule is there as somewhat of a guide. Okay, each lesson is divided into various sections, and I'm not going to go through each of those sections, but let's look under number 6C. It says learning the sound. That's where they learn the rhyme for the sound, and also the flashcard that goes with it, or the wall card. And there's also optional hand motions to accompany the sound that you learn. Like with the elephant, I think they do something, you know, that it looks like a trunk. Are you using some of those? Students like it? Okay. All right. I've been hearing from some others, they do that, and they like those motion things. Okay, good. What in some schools, what they're doing, instead of teaching them those motions, they're teaching them the deaf alphabet, that way, you know. And so you're teaching both things at the same time. That's a good idea, you know. That's time to learn it, right there, that they learn how to do the signing at the same time. So you could try that. Number D. Students are taught to write the letter, first by tracing it and then copying it. Okay, but each of the letters, as they are taught, there is also a little saying, a little rhyme that goes with it. For example, the E, Mr. Smiley walks away and changes his mind and turns around and comes back and says hello. All it's just a reminder, it's just a, you know, of how to correctly make these letter formations. Okay, good. Let's go to the next page. Working with sounds, we have that. There's blending fun. We already talked about that a little bit, as well as the different reading skills. Number I, the dot maps. We've already looked at that too. Number M, the spelling. Most lessons have a list of spelling words. Okay. And the spelling words are usually marked in your teacher's guide as to what they are, what the words are. And in the back of the teacher's guide, you have an appendix, and there's also a list of the spelling words for each lesson. They're marked in here as well. Okay, appendix D has the spelling words. Spelling is very important. Just like in learning to read, you are putting blends together to make new words. Spelling is doing the opposite thing. They're taking a word and breaking it back into parts. Some teachers are saying, well, isn't spelling so important? In fact, one teacher told me, he was a male teacher, he said it was very often if a student struggled with being able to put the words together, once they did the spelling part, then all of a sudden they found out how they could do it, okay? So the spelling is a key part of them learning how to blend sound the words. So don't skimp on the spelling. Make sure that the students do the spelling as well. Now, I don't know if Chris, I'm going to give you this permission. Somebody asked me, well, can we copy this page that the student takes at home so that they can practice the spelling words at home? I would say, sure, that's fine. You know, that the parents can work with the child at home, practicing the spelling words and stuff like that. I think that's okay. And so, make the copy if necessary. Another thing that we have included in the course, and now if you're using the course, you aren't that far yet, and the last couple of pages of this handout talks about the teacher's guide and the different icons that are used, but then there's also evaluating reading skills. And I'm not going to read through that, but we have developed a rubric, if you look at this chart, where you can evaluate how well is my child reading. And you can evaluate their rate of reading. See, and then you take 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Their word recognition, the phrasing, as well as the expression. And, for example, you have it that, well, he has a 4, and a 5, and a 3, and a 4, you know, when you do this test. And the teacher's guide tells you gives you the suggested stories on which to test them, and you don't do this so the child senses that you're testing him. But you give this, okay, let's say he had a 3 and a 4 and a 5 and a 4 and a 4. Well, then his average is 4. Okay, you just take the average. And I think you want, at the end of the first year, where does it say? By the end of grade 1, a 4 average should be attainable, and a second grader should be able to get a 5. Okay? And it's a, you can, from time to time, just do an assessment, how well is my child reading? This starts about in 106. Is where you can start doing this. And you can even send that chart home with it so the parents can see how well is my child reading. Okay, I'm going to not pick up on that. Now let's go on. Okay, number 7. The teacher's guide in the back also has all kinds of appendices. It has the scope and sequence where the order in which each of the blends and sounds and sight words are learned. A concept index. Okay, well, in what lesson did they learn the BL blend? Blah. Okay, then you can look up and find where it is. Flashcard index, spelling word index, penmanship, teaching tips, phonics rules, all those kinds of things. And then in the back, of course, are the alternate tests. If your student didn't do well on the first set of light unit tests, you do have these tests that you can photocopy and use as an alternate test. Okay, let's go over to the flashcards. The flashcard system has not changed, really, except that some new flashcards have been added and some other flashcards probably taken out. Words have changed. And so if you're going to use the new light units, the new teacher's guide, then you're going to need to have the new flashcards. Also, the sight words are underlined on the flashcards again. Okay? So if it's an underlined word, you know it's a sight word. All right. One thing that we have developed, something new, and that is the what we call the practice sheets. There is a one book of practice sheets for 101 to 105, and there's another book for 106 to 110. Many cases we have taken sheets out of the older lessons, you know, where there was too much material, stuff like that, and just put it into the practice sheet book. Some cases we've added new materials, and this is just additional things that you can do with your students. Now, in the middle are all the practice sheets in a small format with the answers on them and also the directions for the teacher. These practice sheet books you can photocopy. They're photocopiable. So you don't need to buy a book for each student. You just buy one and make the copies that you need in your school. And you don't have to use all the practice sheets if you don't need to, if you don't feel you don't want to. Only those that you wish to. The teacher's guide tells you which practice sheet goes with which lesson. Okay, I do have some of the new primers. We had that book, I Can Read. Well, we've put those I Can Read stories into these three booklets now. Okay, basically the same story. Some of them have changed. As you can see, the sight words again are underlined. You also have words in bold print. If it's a bold print word, we call it a challenge word. That means that the student may not have learned the word yet, but he should be able to sound it out with the skills that he already has. For example, I don't see one in here. Okay, bandage. See, really what it is, it's a compound word. They have learned band, and they've learned age. Now, we have put a hyphen in it, just for better sounding out for the child. But so they can learn how to blend two words together. Or maybe, for example, they have the word dog, but then they learn the word dogs, the S behind it, to make it plural. So the challenge words are words that they should be able to, from what they have learned, new words that they should be able to read. That's what those ones are. Okay, but what we did do is we put together a primer right from the start at the beginning, so that as soon as school starts, the student can already get a reader and he can read. It's a bit like the Dick and Jane kind of, you know. And see here too, the word mom. Okay, they have learned these sounds, but it's a really a new word for them, a challenge word that they can. And it's this new book has been put together. The reason we put them into four booklets instead of one, well, students always like to get a new book. Okay? And so after a while they want a new reader. And somebody asked me, well, do these readers go home with the children, that they become the child? I said, no, not really. They belong to the, if it's, you're in a school situation, they belong to the school. If they're in your home, well, yeah, children can enjoy them. And it gives additional reading practice for the child. In fact, this first book, all these pictures are from a certain family, David and Sarah Miller. David is one of our artists at Christian Light, and so it's really his family. Okay, we've already talked about the challenge words, the underlined words. Again, the teacher's guide gives you directions as to which story goes with which lesson. Let's look a bit yet at language arts and the reading to learn, the I Wonder. Okay, we do have the language arts books here. I didn't bring them over here. They're on the table there. The language arts course has been revised. The workload has been lightened, especially where we felt that there was work was unnecessary or repetitious. As I said before, the penmanship has been taken out of the earlier light units because they're still doing learning to read where you have penmanship. We've made the number of lessons in each book consistent. I think there are, 9 or 11 lessons in each light unit. The older light units, one book had 5 lessons, and the other one had 9, the other one had, you know, it was all back and forth. And we have made it a little bit more even. Some phonics parts are introduced in a new sequence. You can still use the language arts wall charts that you used to have. You don't have to order new wall charts. And of course, the guide is in there. All right, the reading to learn, the I Wonder. The reader, the I Wonder course the new stuff is not out yet. The reader will not change. The reader itself will not change. The stories will stay the same. But we are revising the workbook, so it'll have the quizzes and tests just like a regular Sunrise book has. Also, it used to be one fatter workbook. It'll be 5 light units. The reasons we're putting it into 5 light units, because if the student has to work in this fat workbook for half a year, after a while it looks like a ragged catalog. And so we're making 5 separate light units of that. Okay? There are the quizzes and tests will be in there just like normal. More white space, more art, and so on. So that is coming up. That is not ready yet. We feel there's still some work to be done, and so our committee group is working with that I Wonder thing. They're still at work. So that part of the course is still not ready. For this year, you still have to use the old workbooks. Okay, any questions? I know I've rushed through this last part here.
For more free resources that support teaching and learning, visit the docforlearning.org.